Jesus, and a whole lot more Jesus. Incredible time today being in worship. And one more time, come on, can we just honor the choir for that set right there? Man, Pastor Paul, I haven't been in a choir type atmosphere. You got to pray for that for us in Vegas, because that was so special. What an honor it is to be in this place here today. Incredible church and an incredible opportunity to just stand before you here today. I feel like I'm two H words. I'm humbled and I'm honored because this is such an incredible stage. What a joy it is to be in your house here today, all the way from the great city of Las Vegas, Nevada. Not the city of sin, but the city of Him. Amen? Right? Come on, the Lord is at work in a real way. And before we jump into the Word today, and I know that you're hungry for the Word, this is such a Word-driven church, which I think is the best way to do church. I just want to bring a quick word of honor. First off, I want to honor my amazing wife who's here with me today. Thank you, Nina, for joining me. And also from our five boys in Las Vegas, you can see a quick picture of our family up on the screen. That's our squad, and that's why I got a lot of gray hairs coming in on the side. A lot of wrestling matches and trying to keep up with our crew. The Lord called us to our home city, Las Vegas, over 10 years ago to plant Walk Church, where we say everybody has a next step, right? We're not trying to run to the finish line. We're just trying to take one step at a time. That was kind of like a rhyme right there. I like that. I'm going to use that again. That was pretty good. But one step at a time, amen? And I think you keep stacking those steps, and you'll find that the Lord will take you far on this journey. And so, Nina, thank you for joining me here at Great Sherwood Baptist Church. And second, I want to honor the incredible leaders of this house, Pastor Paul and Bria Godhart. Come on. Love you guys so much. Honor you. You know, I was thinking about these two, and, you know, they spent so much time in Vegas and planted a great church, Life Baptist Church, that continues to make disciples, and God uses so greatly in a profound way today. When I was thinking about you two, a few words came to mind for me. The first thing that came to mind regarding Bria is life-giving energy. You are a life-giving energy, just ball of that, right? If you get around Bria, you're going to feel some life-giving energy. Like, if she's about to, like, go climb a mountain, you're going to be like, man, I think I'm going to climb a mountain, right? Just something about the energy and what the Lord does in your life is so contagious. And so when I think about Pastor Paul, I think about a godly focus. One time I met with Pastor Paul and I said, Pastor Paul, help me learn how to do like a better quiet time devotion with the Lord. And he said, you got 30 minutes, 15 minutes, or 2 minutes? I got a set for all of that. And I was like, who has a 2 minute plan on how to? He's like, you take the first 30 seconds and pray, you take the next 15 seconds and then journal it, you take the next minute. And I was like, wow, godly focus. But you know what I thought about? When you take life-giving energy and godly focus together, that is a dynamic duo, amen? And I think that's why you have such an incredible church with great leaders, and I believe that you are following an incredible team. And so we love you, Godhart family. One more time, just want to honor you. And I don't know if you know this, church, but tomorrow is Pastor Paul's birthday. Come on. So, you know what? Pastor Paul's like, man, get to the sermon, man. I'm not doing it yet because we want to honor you for your birthday. So we brought you some Jordans all the way from your Las Vegas fam. We got the first present in, all right? When you're like, man, what, did anybody get me some for my birthday? Yes, it's from us. And so I know you're a low-top Jordan guy. So, you know, we wanted to just add to your collection. And I hope that they encourage you. Come on, size 10, in case anybody needs to know that information, all right? Oh, so good. Well, greetings from Walk Church, and happy early birthday. And so now I think it's appropriate for us to dive into the Word today. We like to say this in Las Vegas. If you're ready, say ready. Well, I'm a bit of a feedback preacher, so I like to have a little dialogue. Hope that's okay in the message. And if you're hungry, say let's eat. Cool, that's good, right there. Well, Father, we're ready to eat from your Word. Lord, we know that man doesn't live off bread alone, but every word that comes from your book, Lord. God, we came here today because we need a word. Not another message from a person, but a word from God. So I'm praying, Lord, that this would be a holy time where you would take us deeper. We'd take the floaties off. We would get out of the shallow end and we go a little deeper today. God, as we think about the mountain of the flesh that so often wants to get in the way of what the Holy Spirit wants to do through the work of prayer, would you give us clarity today from the Word? Would you help us from the Word? Oh, in fact, church, just pray with me right now. Just say, Lord, help me. God, we're asking for your help, and thank you that you give it. You give it freely. God, in the task of prayer, God, we need supernatural help. And so, Lord, would you do that in us and through us? Not just for those here right now, but for those watching online. Maybe there's somebody watching online that's just discouraged or distracted. God, would they just lock in right now? God, would you help us? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we're in this series here that's talking about this idea of the mountain. I think it's an incredible way to kick off a new year as we enter into this new year. In fact, as we enter into this new day, this new month, come on, this is the day that the Lord has made, and you got a choice to rejoice, right? It's February 1st. Come on, the Lord woke us up, and we're going to win this month, amen? Come on, it's going to be a great month, and here's one of the ways that I think can set you up to win this month by continuing to take the task of prayer seriously. Something about talking with God, not just talking to God, but having a relationship with God really can be a game changer. I've found that in my own life, this mountain of the flesh oftentimes desires to get in the way, to try to trip me up, to try to distract me or throw me off. I want to preach from this simple title, Prayer in the Mountain of the Flesh. If I can give a secondary title, maybe a subtitle to this message, it would simply be Embrace the Help. Embrace the Help. The reality is, all of us live in this body called the flesh. And all of our flesh is one day going to die, right? And those who are a little bit older and feel a little bit more achy and are feeling like they're just a little, you can come on, somebody say amen, right? This trap that we're in, this shell that we're in, the flesh. We're all born into the flesh, and there's this mountain that we need to climb and get over in order to enter into the things that God wants to call us into, and that is life in the Spirit. I wanted to tell somebody here today that when you enlist into Christ, when you put your faith in Jesus, you're put on a team, right? You're transferred from the kingdom of darkness, and you are now on the kingdom of light team, amen? You're moved from out of Satan's team and the orphanage of the world, and you're into a family adopted by the Lord himself onto Team Jesus. Church family, there's a battle going on for your soul. There's a battle going on for your desires and your affections. Can I tell you, it's a battle against the spirit and the flesh. I want you to think, I'm a sports guy, so sometimes I think in sports analogies. In fact, think about like a scoreboard, like this scoreboard up here on the screen. Man, not a Georgia scoreboard. Come on, that's a different one. You like that one right there, Pastor Paul? Not a Bulldog scoreboard, but similar to that, this scoreboard right here. The spirit versus the flesh. I think every day we're scoring points for one of those teams. Throughout this year, when you get to the end of this year, what's going to have more points on either side? Are you sowing more seeds, shooting more shots, scoring more buckets, passing more to the flesh? Are you sowing into the spirit? And I just want to encourage you today, the spirit is a better investment. Both are going to give you an ROI. Come on, we got any business leaders in the room? You sow into the spirit, you're going to get a return on your investment. You sow into the flesh, you're going to get regret on your investment. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives life. In fact, this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane before he heads to the cross, he knows this moment is right around the corner. Jesus is on his knees praying on three different occasions. In fact, one translation says he's sweating drops of blood. Imagine the intensity of this moment. He looks over at his disciples. What are they doing? They've been sleeping. Like snoring sleeping, slumber sleeping. Jesus wakes them up. You know, my bad, Jesus, my bad, Jesus. He goes back and prays again. He looks back over, back sleeping again. Finally, Jesus says to them this phrase, Matthew 26, verse 41. He says, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." I think this is a good picture of the Christian life. The spirit is willing, flesh is weak. The Holy Spirit is willing to go the distance. The Holy Spirit is willing to walk with you and help you and strengthen you and empower you. Man, but the flesh is weak. There's this battle going on that's fighting for our focus. It's the mountain of the flesh. It's the mountain of self. It's the mountain of doubt. It's the mountain of distraction. All of the topics that you've been leading us in, Pastor Paul. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is beyond willing. Amen? Look what Paul writes to the church in Galatia. He says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these are opposed to each other." Do you feel the battle in the language? They're opposed to each other. Paul says in Romans 7, right? He says, man, sometimes there's these things that I really want to do, but my flesh says, I want you to do something else. Who will save me from this body of flesh and sin and death? Praise be to God. The battle. Romans 8, verse 13 and 14. Here's what the text teaches us. I think we'd be wise to lean in. Romans 8, verse 13 says, "If you live according to the flesh," come on, say this with me, "you will die." If you say, you know what, here's my 2026 resolution, I'm just going to listen to the flesh and live according to the flesh. I'm going to be consumed by my own desires. The flesh is not thinking about eternity. The flesh is thinking about temporary, amen? The flesh says, I want it and I want it now. The spirit is thinking, what's going to help me win tomorrow? The flesh has no awareness of consequence, which is why at 11 p.m. when you feel like making a Taco Bell run, don't do it. Oh, come on, no one's ever been there? It's not going to help you. And nor is it going to be in the context of lust or hitting that snooze button one more time or saying that thing that you really feel led to say to slander that person or gossip about a situation, or maybe I'm just going to take off church, or maybe I'm not going to do the Sunday school, or maybe I'm not going to do the small group, or maybe I'm going to stop giving. I need a little bit more for me. Listen, friend, when you start to gratify the desires of the flesh, it leads to death. I've just found that it's no help at all. Oh, he says, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. I think everybody in this church wants to live. Amen? Amen. I mean, I'm not just talking about making it through life. I'm talking about really live. Yeah. God, I want to live. I want to live every moment that you have for me. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God and daughters of God. I think the evidence of the genuinity of your faith is, do you have the Spirit, and are you allowing the Spirit to live his life in you and through you? Let me give you one more thought here. It comes from the Lord Jesus himself in John 6, verse 33. Notice what Jesus says. After he feeds the 5,000 plus, he uses these words. Come on, read them with me off the screen. Ready, set, go. "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all." Oh, come on, I think we can do better than that. Rewind. Let's try it again. "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I've spoken to you are spirit and life." Oh, man, I feel like just to sometimes open this book is warfare. Anybody else just feel that? To just carve out some time to just get alone with God and maybe spend some time with the Lord unrushed and undistracted, right, is so much warfare. You know why? Because it's the word that is life. You open up this book, you get stronger. You spend a few moments with the Lord, you get better. Oh, I want to encourage you to consider that here today. I was recently spending some time with a mentor in my life, a friend of ours, Pastor Vance Pittman, and he said, Pastor Hyden, you got to know it's prayer is not just talking to God. It's not just you having a one-sided conversation. Prayer is talking with God and leaving room for the Holy Spirit in those prayer times to give you a word, to give you a prompting. He might lead you to open the book. He might lead you to text somebody, call somebody, make a relationship right. He might lead you to think of a sermon or do something. I want to encourage you today that the Holy Spirit wants to help us in our praying. I just feel like, if I'm honest, as a pastor, get a chance to be a chaplain for our Las Vegas Raiders, if you're looking for a football team, we need some help, all right? Pray for us. Whatever the situation may be, as a husband, as a dad, I notice in my prayer life, I just don't have enough power within me to do it on my own. I need help. And that's why I wanted to encourage you to embrace the help. I think something about the Holy Spirit being our helper has encouraged me in my walk in the first few weeks of this year. So as we think about the mountain of the flesh and the help of the Spirit, the flesh is weak, the Spirit is willing, the flesh leads to death, the Spirit leads to life, the flesh leads to regret, the Spirit leads to a return. I want to encourage you to embrace the help. Point number one, if you're taking notes here, I want to encourage you to take some notes. You know what's wild, Pastor Paul? I recently heard this statistic. I'm not exactly sure where it comes from. I need to do my research better. But I recently heard this statistic. If you listen to, say, a sermon or a podcast, and you just hear it, about 60% of what you hear, you'll retain. The next statistic says, if you write some of what you heard down, about 80% of what you just heard, you'll retain. And then the third thing is, if you actually apply what you wrote down, it becomes you. The message starts to become lifestyle. So I just want to say, make a little plug here. Maybe write something down. Come on. Take a screenshot. Put something in your notes. It's going to help you on this journey, the mountain of the flesh. Point number one, we need the Spirit. If I haven't convinced you enough, I just want to remind you here today already, we are in need here. We are a needy people. We need the Spirit. So I was stepping up onto this stage. Holy Spirit, I need you. As we walk into this room today, Holy Spirit, I need you. As you walk out of this church today, Spirit of God, I need you. As I approach Monday, oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, how I need you. Can you just feel that God-dependent spirit? Lord, we need you. I wrote this down as a reality statement. I was just typing some things out, working on this sermon. If you want to just consider this, here's what I wrote down. The flesh won't be defeated by willpower alone. This mountain is too steep for human strength. What we need is supernatural help, power from on high, an advantage from heaven. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit provides. It's this continual thought, less of me trying, more of me relying. Less of me working harder, more of me remaining a little longer. It can't be your own flesh that's going to help you win this battle. We don't possess the power of life and death, but the same Spirit who rose Christ from the dead is now at work in us. Oh, we need the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Maybe you're familiar with this powerful set of words, but the first part, can I be honest, will discourage you a little bit. Ephesians 2 teaches us that we were dead. We weren't taking a nap. We weren't just kind of chilling on the side, waiting for some religiosity. No, no, church, we were dead. Dead in our sins, dead in our trespasses. In fact, we were walking zombies. We were dead people living. We were dead, but we were walking, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. And I'm glad that he puts "like the rest of mankind" in there, because in case you're thinking, well, that's for somebody, it's not for me, you in there. Hey, just come on, bump your neighbor and say, this is for you. About half y'all did it. Come on, come on. Let me try this side. Just bump your neighbor and say, this is a word for you. Come on, it's a word for you. Come on, this is a word for us. Either you've been redeemed or not. Either you've been saved and born again and filled with the Holy Spirit or not. In fact, today I would be willing to say maybe somebody's in this room or somebody's watching this right now, and maybe your prayer needs to move to, Lord, save me. Lord, I feel I'm dead, but I think I'm starting to come alive. Something about when we were singing Jesus and something about the words that were being preached, I'm new. I'm different. Call upon the name of the Lord and be saved and be filled with the Spirit. Amen? We need the Spirit. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, it's interesting. The Apostle Paul, he says, don't get drunk with wine and strong drink. Don't be drunk and be filled with debauchery, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And I was interested, like, why does the Apostle Paul make this distinction between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit? And I feel like I began to realize, you know what? We're going to be under the influence of something. We're going to be under the influence of someone. And Paul's saying, hey, when you drink a little too much, you'll start to realize you're influenced by that thing. Whether it's wine or whether it's something or someone else, Paul is pleading for the church in Ephesus to be influenced by the Spirit of God, to be influenced by love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness. And come on, anybody go to VBS growing up? Y'all know all nine? Come on. You know what I've realized is the Holy Spirit is all nine all the time. There's never a moment, Pastor Ken, where the Holy Spirit is not kind, where the Holy Spirit is not gentle, where the Holy Spirit is not patient. Oh, can I just tell you, there's times where I'm not. Like when our plane got canceled while we were at the gate. And I'm waiting in this long line and I'm saying, I'm about to cut all y'all. And then the Holy Spirit says, back up. Take your time. The Holy Spirit is always at work within us, moving and challenging and convicting and conforming us into the image of Christ. I've found that we need the Spirit, and the Spirit helps us. In fact, before Jesus went to the cross, he preached what's called his farewell sermon. And in his final sermon recorded for us in the Gospel of John, you can survey it in John chapter 14 all the way through 17, powerful moments from the Lord Jesus. John 14 verse 26, he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you. Oh, I love that he's called the Helper. What's a good nickname for the Holy Spirit? The one that's going to help you. The Paraclete, right? The Counselor, the Comforter, the Helper. John 15, 26. In case you were sleeping at 14, 26, Jesus gets you in 15, 26. 15, 26. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. In case you were sleeping in chapter 15, Jesus again in chapter 16. Oh, come on. Are we here today, church? Woo! John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I will tell you the truth. Look, when Jesus says, I tell you the truth, you know what? We should lean in. Amen. He's about to drop a truth bomb on us. Come on, Sherwood. Okay, Jesus is about to tell us the truth. Here's the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Oh, Lord, I need your help. And Jesus says, that's who I'm sending. I got you. And if I'm honest, you know, the testimony of sports in my life is a big part of my story. God redeemed me out of sports idolatry. I think we got to realize sports are a great game, but a terrible God. Right? Basketball can't save you. Football can't save you. Your sport can't save you. But maybe it could point you to the Lord. And that's how God used sports in my life. As an athlete, I just realized, man, I'm always wanting the advantage. That's why we go to practice. That's why we look at the playbook. That's why we watch film, to try to get the advantage on the other team. Did you know that Jesus wants you to have the advantage on life? In this sport, in this game that you get a chance to wake up to, there's this battle going on against the flesh and the spirit. And Jesus goes, I got the advantage. Come on into the huddle. Come on into church at 9:30 a.m. I can give you the advantage on how to win this week. It's walking by the Spirit. Realize we need help. John 14, 15, 16, Jesus keeps telling these knucklehead disciples. One of them's about to betray him. Another one's about to doubt him. Most of them are not even going to show up on this difficult moment around the corner. Jesus goes, y'all need help. And so do we, amen? And the Spirit gives us the help that we need. The Spirit helps us in our praying. Hey, does anybody ever just feel like you get into a prayer moment, you just feel like, you know what? I'm inspired. That was a good sermon. Hopefully. And you think, you know what? I'm going to pray. And then you get ready to pray and you're not even sure what to pray for. Sometimes I'm like, man, okay, what should I pray for right now? Or maybe you go through your list and you're like 2 minutes in and you're like, okay, what should I pray for? Do you know that the Holy Spirit knows what you need to pray for? Look what the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Rome, Romans 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit, woo, helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Now, I don't know all what that means, but I think this Holy Spirit's like, ah, let me help you. Bria, I wonder if the Holy Spirit's like, we're praying. And the Holy Spirit's like, all right, you don't know what to pray for. Come on, man. The Holy Spirit's like, let me help you. The Holy Spirit's like translating to the Father and the Son. Here's what he means. Here's what he's trying to get out. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. He who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me in my prayer life. Help me to pray according to your will. According to your ways are not my ways. Your ways better. Help me pray, Lord. We need the Spirit. Point number two, second and final point. We need the Spirit. Number two, we heed the Spirit. We need the Spirit. It's not enough for you to just simply acknowledge, yeah, I need the Spirit. There's a secondary point that needs to follow your neediness. It's you heeding the Spirit. Let me define the word heed, the heed that I'm talking about in the Oxford Pocket Dictionary. It's to pay attention and take notice of the Spirit's work in your life. It's one thing to say, yeah, you're right, Pastor Hayden. I agree. I do need help from above. I need help in my prayer life. I need help to come away from my Bible reading not cold but on fire. I need him. But I want to encourage you to heed him. Heed his voice. Heed his promptings. What's the Holy Spirit prompting you to do? If you live your life led by the Spirit, oh, your life is going to change. It's going to be better. It's going to be strong. You're going to sense supernatural power. Because the Spirit gives life, the flesh is no help at all. We need to heed the Spirit. Pay attention to the Spirit. Pay attention to what the Holy Spirit's doing among us. Can I just share a quick testimony of a moment in my own life? You know, I don't know if any of you guys are like me, but I said, you know what, it's time for me to start getting back to the gym. Anybody? Come on. Just, maybe you're feeling that right this moment. So I recently started going back to the gym. I got my gym membership going. I said, you know what, I'm going to start working out again. I feel like I just kind of got a little bit of a funk there, and I need to get back in the mix. And so I started working out again. Then one of those like big buff dudes was like, hey, brother. That kind of sounded like Hulk Hogan. I don't know where that came from. Right? Like, hey, brother. He's like, if you really want to get in shape, you need to hit the sauna after the gym. He's like, you got to go sit in that sauna for at least 10 minutes and sweat out all those cupcakes and chips and stuff. I was like, man, what's this guy talking about? After my workout, I was like, man, I'm going to the sauna, right? Come on. So I go sit in that sauna, and I'm sitting there, and I'm about 3 minutes in, and I'm thinking, this is a bad decision. I'm sweating, and it's hot, and I glance up, and there's this guy staring at me. And I'm like, oh, no, tell me this is someone from our church, right? He goes, Pastor Hayden. I said, hey, what's up, man? I got my headphones in. You know, that just kind of means I'm not really trying to talk to you right now. I'm just playing. Come on, don't be that guy, right? And so we have this great conversation. It's one of those obnoxious, Jesus-filled conversations, and everybody else in the sauna is like, these guys. And so we're talking about the Lord, and he was watching our church online, and really cool moment. There's this other guy who's listening. And finally, he just jumps in. He goes, hey, guys, I'm listening to your conversation. I love that you guys are talking about faith. And you know what I do? That's my timer. I'm 10 minutes in. Hey, you guys meet. Have a good one. Hopefully you guys enjoy your conversation. I'm just going back out this door, right? And the guy was like, he wanted to engage in the conversation with us. And I just left. And I'm walking out of the gym and I'm thinking, you know what? I talked about Jesus in the sauna. I got my workout in. And I'm ready to go. I get in my car, I drive down the street, I'm at the stoplight. In the stoplight, the Holy Spirit says, go back and talk to that guy. And so you know what I said? No. I already did what I needed to do. And I don't even know if that was the Holy Spirit or not. That might have been the protein shake. I get down to the next light. And you know when the Holy Spirit's trying to get your attention? Holy Spirit's like, hey, there's two ways we can do this here. You can either miss the moment, or you can get in on what God's telling you to do. Every time I've walked past the check from the Holy Spirit, the prompting of the Spirit, I always regret it. Amen. And now the flesh is saying, hey, just keep going. But the Spirit is prompting me to do something that's even uncomfortable. So I've learned long enough to trust his promptings. I make a U-turn. I end up there back in the gym parking lot. I said, all right, here we go. I walk past in the check-in people. I said, oh, I was just here. I'm doing two-a-days. Here, come on, right? I walk right in. I'm talking to the Lord. I'm talking to the Spirit. Holy Spirit, I trust you. I pray that this is a moment. I walk into that room. I open up that sauna door. One guy sitting in there. There he is. He looks up at me and he goes, I was hoping you'd come back. I said, man, you know what? The Holy Spirit wanted me to come back. I wanted to meet you and kind of rushed out of there. My bad. Tell me a little bit about your story. He goes, last night I decided to open the Bible and I found myself in Matthew chapter 13 and I was reading this thing called a parable? Parable? What? I said, that's a parable. It's a short form story that has a spiritual truth. And he goes, okay, what's up with all the seeds? And these farmers planting stuff, and there's a bird that grabs one, and so I got to explain the parable of the seeds in the sauna to this guy. And the Holy Spirit wanted me to do that. And he positioned me in that moment. I just feel like the Holy Spirit is going to put all of this is a big, amazing group of really cool people around the city of Albany and beyond. And if you listen to the Holy Spirit's voice, he's going to use you to do, come on, I feel like somebody should clap for the Lord. Come on. If you're just open to it, if you're just open to the Spirit prompting you to say happy birthday to Pastor Paul, do it. If you're feeling the Holy Spirit prompting you to confess sin, do it. If you're feeling the Holy Spirit prompt you to make a relationship right, do it. If you feel like the Holy Spirit's prompting you to share the gospel, I'm grateful for my wife, Nina. We were eating dinner just down the street last night, and the Holy Spirit prompted Nina, invite our awesome server to church tomorrow. And we just sparked this gospel conversation. If she's here today, we want to honor you for making it to church today. Come on, amen. So good. She said, I keep driving by Sherwood. I think I'm going to go. So I don't think it's by accident that we're here. You should go. But I think that if we're listening, if we're not just saying, yes, we need the Spirit, but Holy Spirit, lead me. I'm looking at Acts chapter 16 recently, where the Apostle Paul, he keeps trying to go to Asia, and the Holy Spirit keeps saying no. But he's led by the Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go over here. And he says, okay, let's go over here. I just think we need the Spirit. We heed the Spirit. We keep showing up in prayer and listening to his voice. Oh, can I quote from a great pastor named Michael Catt? Amen. Come on, Pastor Michael Catt. He once shared this. I love Pastor Michael Catt. He was there on my ordination Sunday back in Las Vegas over a decade ago. He just happened to be in town training pastors. He showed up on the Sunday that I was getting ordained, and he spoke word over my life. Here's what Michael Catt said. He said, a powerful prayer is one that does not let go. It does not quit. It is profitable and powerful because it is persistent. There's a lot of P words in there, right? Persistent prayer. Come on, Pastor Paul. I love that that's the legacy of this church. Persistent prayer. I stepped on the campus today. I just thought, you know what? This is a prayed up place. Presence of God is in this thing. And what are we talking about when we say the presence of God? We're talking about the Holy Spirit moving through the crowd, moving through the preached word, moving through the songs we sing. Oh, God, I pray that we would have Spirit-filled homes. There's a lady that came up to me in our church, Nina. I think I was sharing this with you just the other weekend. She came up and she had a bottle of olive oil from the kitchen. She goes, Pastor, can you anoint this olive oil? Because I just want to put it all around my house. I was like, I don't really know if that's biblical or not, but here's what I'm going to pray for. I'm going to pray that the Holy Spirit would be all through your house. And that the Spirit of God, who is uncontained, that he would be all, he'd be all over it. Right when you walk in, you'd sense his presence. And he would fill the room, amen? I pray that the Holy Spirit would do that for us, that we would embrace his help, that we would embrace his goodness, that we would embrace his kindness, we would embrace his strength, not the flesh, but the Spirit. Even if that means we stay a little bit longer. Come on, not rushed, but trusting his voice. There's a little book on prayer that spoke to me. It comes from a guy named E.M. Bounds. He wrote this book called The Power of Prayer. E.M. Bounds once said it like this. He said, I think Christians fail so often to get answers to their prayers because they do not wait long enough on God. They just drop down and say a few words and then jump up and forget it and expect God to answer them. Such praying always reminds me of the small boy ringing his neighbor's doorbell and then running away as fast as he can go. We used to call that a ding-dong ditch. Come on, not just those prayer moments that just come and go, but embracing the help. Pastor Paul, do I got time for just one more quick story? One more quick story. I felt like the Holy Spirit was showing me this recently, and I just felt like I needed to share this with Sherwood here today. Amen. So I got to confess something to you. I am a golf struggler. Anybody else struggle with golf? Okay, I'm grateful. Everybody's like, not me. Come on, pridefulness. We need the Holy Spirit, right? I recently got invited to play golf in Augusta, Georgia. A pastor called me. He said, Pastor Hyde, I'm taking a group of pastors. We're going to Augusta, Georgia. We want to invite you to come play with us. And I told him, dude, I don't want to be the guy that messes up the game. I can hardly hit the ball straight. And he said, listen, Hyde, we just want you to show up. Just come on out. It'll be good. And I said, all right, fine. I'm going to show up. I got me some golf shoes. I said, at least I'm going to look good. Come on. At least you're going to try. Right? So the first three guys, they come tee it off. They hit that ball so hard. And I'm the fourth guy. I'm like, all right, guys, you guys just watch over there. I'm lining up. I got my practice strokes in. I hit that first ball and it goes right in the water. And I said, all right, put another one down. I hit it straight enough that it was playable. The second hole was even worse than the first. And I'm thinking, why am I here? Holy Spirit, I need help. I even felt like the Holy Spirit was like, I can't help you with that one, boss. So come on, you know, like, you got to put some work in to get your golf swing better, right? Get disciplined. The third hole, I'm getting ready to tee off. And I turn around and there's this guy staring at me. And I just thought, why is this guy staring at me? So much so, I went and pulled the guy aside who brought me. I said, hey, who is that guy staring at me? He said, Hayden, that's your caddy. I thought, I got a caddy? Nice. He says, his name's Kevin. Go meet him. I said, hey, Kevin, good to meet you. I'm Hayden. He goes, I know. I'm here to help you. I said, for real? I said, man, this is my third hole. I said, what am I doing wrong? He said, honestly, Hayden, you're not that far off. He said, if you just tweak a few things, in fact, let's take this club. You're using the wrong club. Let's try this club, because if you hit this one, about 100 yards out, it's going to get you straight. It's going to be playable. I went over to the other guys. I said, hey, I'm going to use this club. That other one wasn't really working, but use this one. I tried to use some golf language. And for the first time, I hit the ball straight. It didn't go far, but it was straight. And I look back at Kevin, he gives me a little wink. He goes, I told you. The next one, he goes, guess what? You're going to hit this next shot. I made a putt. It was a close putt, but I made it. And I look back at Kevin, I was like, that's my coach right there. He goes, I told you, you're doing it. For the next 15 holes, me and Kevin were tight. I even took a picture with him. This is my guy, Kevin. This is my personal caddy right there. I love that little pouch thing right there. He had all those balls in there. Right. So every time I'd hit a ball in the water, he'd just toss me a new one. He'd say, hey, hit the next one. And he would work with me. He was very patient with me. He's very kind with me. On the last hole, on the 18th hole, I said, Kev, hey, Kevin, man, I'm sorry. I've been such like an annoying golf. He said, stop. He said, Hayden, I want to ask you to do something for me. Stop apologizing for all the help that you need. And this is what he said to me, changed my life. He said, it is my assignment to help you finish strong. Wow. He said, I was given an assignment today at the golf course called Hayden Ratner. My assignment was to be with you from the beginning to the end and to help you finish this thing strong. Can I tell somebody here today at Sherwood Baptist Church that God the Father sent God the Son, and God the Son sent God the Spirit to help you finish your race strong? Stop apologizing all the times you missed it. In fact, the Holy Spirit has some more help. It's called grace. In fact, sometimes the Holy Spirit might say, hey, put this club back. I got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. How about, let's try goodness. Come on. Why don't you try that club? Hit that one this time. Hey, you don't got to apologize for it. You're saved by grace. The blood of Jesus is enough. Amen. So let's let the Holy Spirit help us finish the assignment. Amen. Whatever that may look like, it's not about you doing it for him. It's about what he's already done for you. And so I lean on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not mad at you. The Holy Spirit's here to help you accomplish the mountain of prayer over the flesh. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. God, I just know I needed it. I needed to just be reminded that the Spirit is for me, not against me. In fact, the Spirit has been assigned to us to help us. Thank you, Jesus, for paying for all of our sins through the cross, through the empty grave. And God, now as we get ready to respond, as we just take a moment now to respond, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would lead our response time. And if somebody here today needs to come to know you right now, by the help of the Holy Spirit, I want to invite you to respond. Even right now, with all heads bowed and all eyes closed. If you came into this place today far from God, or maybe you've been trusting your own works to save you, but today you realize, you know what, it's not about me. I need to repent and I need to respond. And today you would like to say, you know what? I turn from my sins and believe upon the Lord Jesus. If that's you right now, would you just lift your hand up? Believe God could be drawing you to himself right now. God, I pray for anybody who has their hand up. I see those who got their hand up. You keep it up in the back, in the front. If you got your hand up right now, even if you're online right now, would you pray this prayer with me? Lord, I believe in you. And I believe you died for my sins, paid for all of them. I believe you rose from the grave. I repent, and I need your help. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. I'm ready to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, can we clap for the Lord here today? So good. So good, Pastor Paul. If you made a decision, we'd love for you to fill out one of those Connect cards or tap that little button on the side of your chair. And I think it would be appropriate that we just take a minute to just respond. So I just want to encourage everybody, if you feel led to stand. The altar's going to be open, the steps. If you want to pray with any of the leaders or prayer team, or if I could pray with you, would love to do it. Let's take time now as we respond to the Spirit's leading.